Welcome, welcome. What's going on, people? You here with your boy, I'm Just Saying, Culture Shock Entertainment. Here with Shock Therapy. You know what we do here. I got another one. My boy, my homie, long time. D-Hawk, what's up, yo?
I'm chilling, man. Blessed to be in the place.
For sure, for sure. What's going on, man? Tell the people about yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
I'm Cleveland Heights, native Cleveland, man. One of Cleveland's finest.
Right, right.
Just coming back from L.A. And, you know, I've been getting all these inboxes of people telling me congratulations. Well, I'm thinking in my head, they should have told me congratulations for being relevant in Cleveland for 3 years at a city that don't support no talent.
Right, right.
Just seem like, if we ain't got nothing to do with the Browns, the Cavs, or the Indians, we don't support each other. But,
yeah,
you know, it's sad, though.
It is, especially when you support the Browns and they don't. That's another subject.
Yeah.
But, you know, so. Speaking of which, you're a huge Steelers fan.
Huge, man.
I mean, unrealistically huge.
Huge, man. You know, and matter of fact, when I was in L.A., because my mother didn't know I was a huge Steelers fan, so she got me a Browns wallet.
Stop it.
Yeah, and they got a lot of bums in San Diego, and I gave him $1, and I took out a Browns wallet. He gonna give me 50 cents. Said, you needed more than me. I said, I'd be. No, but you know what my thing is, man? Because you know that I do these, it's more than just funny. I'm inspirational also.
Right.
So I do about a five-minute video.
Uh-huh.
This and that, and tell people keep on going no matter what you're going through. And out of all that, they're going to say, what's up with the Steeler thing in the back?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, like you don't get no concept of what I'm saying, not the message. But my thing is,
that just shows you what's important.
That's right. The girl told me, she said, you need to take off the shirt. This was years ago. And I said, if people going to condemn me for the shirt, then you really ain't on my team anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So
I agree.
Yeah.
Now,
so it's cool.
Now, let me ask you a question. You've been doing comedy for how long now?
Going on 3 years.
3 years. Now, what got you? I mean, you've been a funny dude since I've known you, like hysterically funny. But what made you do the transition of actually being a comedian and going that route?
Well, this is not a story that I guess you tell church folks, but I was drunk.
You might as well.
I was drunk.
Yeah, well.
And I just got tired of being at Lowe's. I got tired of my mother working two jobs. I ain't seen my brother in Arizona. I'm looking at people on TV that I don't think is funny.
Right.
And I just said, I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? I wish I could have been sober. I wish I could tell you a story. Just like, you know what?
Nah.
I'm just going to do a comedy. But
Yeah,
I'm telling you how it was. I was in the front of Walgreens and I was on some liquor, you know, and I just said, it's time to do it. So what God led me through is that I don't need liquor to be funny.
Really?
You know what I mean? Because apparently I made you laugh at Home Depot and I wasn't liquored up, I don't think, that day.
Hey, some of them days, I don't know which.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Now, for everybody, we used to work together at Home Depot like 10 plus years back.
Yeah.
And that's where I met Delonte. Now, I got to tell you about how we met. I was coming in, and we were new, and we had a lot of girls working there at the time, and they were beautiful, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so he was sitting outside, and he had his hands in his pockets, and I think I was pushing carts, and one of my boys knew him, and he was like, "Yo, that's my boy Delonte," and I'm like, "Okay, cool." So he was like, "Just watch what he do," and I remember you had your hand in your pocket, and this lady walked past, and either you whistle or you did something. You started singing or something. And I'm like, who does that? And then you looked at me, you winked your eye and smiled. I said, oh, yeah, he's a nut. He's a nut, man.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. I'll never forget it because I knew right then and there. I said, this dude is crazy. Something's wrong with him.
Of course.
But, over the years, I've always wondered. I said, what would he ever do comedy? Because it was you and another guy. I'm going to have him on the show soon. Chris Ball.
Sleep.
You know, yeah, Sleep. And I just thought you two were probably the funniest people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
And so it's funny. I think I hadn't talked to you maybe 3 or 4 years. And I just so happened one day was on Facebook and I, you know, got me another page. And I looked and I said, Delonte. And I think you responded to Brandon, was my cousin who was working with him. I think his P had a picture of his dad. And you was like, is that Luke?
Yeah.
And he did it like Luke from, you know, so I just laughed. I said, this dude is crazy. So what I didn't know is that you had made, you know, you had got saved. And I said, wow. I said, I wonder what happened. So is that what happened when you were talking about as far as the liquor and the Walgreens and whatnot? What actually transpired? What got you to the point where you say, I need to make a change in my life?
Wow. I guess everything. I guess nothing really, you know how they say you got to hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
But I didn't really hit rock bottom because I'm blessed with just an amazing supporting cast.
Right.
I would just witness what was going on around me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've always been saved. But I have been going back and forth as far as, you know, it's clean comedy, it's dirty comedy, a sin.
Right.
You know, all of this. But,
yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's entertainment. And, you know, it's just, it's what you do after you come off that stage that makes it a sin or not to me.
I have to agree with that. I do. Because I feel a certain way about comedy also. So, yeah. I agree with that.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
So, you got to realize, I'm coming from Cleveland that, you know, these dungeons, you know, you can't bring no clean stuff in there.
No,
No. No.
They'll put you out.
Oh, yeah.
They'll you at the stage.
Yeah, they don't throw oranges or apples. They throw watermelons. So it's just, it's all about adaptation.
Right.
You know, and I know what's in my heart. About to do like a kids comedy monthly. Oh,
okay.
You know,
okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I do, you know, church shows. But okay. I keep it real, man. That's why I say I keep it real, but I keep it clean as far as with the church.
Right.
If you want to hear about Luke and Mark and Job, listen to the pastor.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what I experience, but right. I'm going to make it clean.
That's good.
I talk about strip clubs. I talk about all that, but it's all my delivery.
You talk about strip clubs in the church?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, ain't like nobody don't know about strip clubs in the church. You know.
But it's my delivery. I say, hey, y'all, this is where I come from.
Right.
Not, no. You remember the Rocks? Remember Rock City? Remember that?
Right.
No, I don't do that. But I'm just, you know, it's all about, it's a craft, it's a skill. It could be tasteful.
Right.
You know, I talk about big girls, but it's, of course, some big girls going to be offensive.
Right.
You offended me. No, you offended me when you ate the last chicken wing. I didn't say anything about that. But,
Let's go.
I'm sorry.
Let's go. Now, let me ask you a question. I see also that, and it's funny that you said that you do things with churches and whatnot. I see that you really are in the East Cleveland area a lot with the youth.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
That's OPN, man. That's Oppressed People Nation. And the chairman, Ernest Smith, man. And we just grind. We just, you know, with the Trayvon Martin, it seemed like black people, we do stuff as a fad.
Yeah.
You know, Jay-Z said do it, a Lil Wayne, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But after 2 weeks, when an award show come on or somebody drop their album, we forget all about it.
Right.
We constantly, we feed the poor, we clothe the poor, we have different functions because these kids need something to do. You know, it ain't nothing for them to, they can find bad stuff as soon as they come out the door.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Before they hit the door,
yeah. Even in their house.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. So I grind it, man. I just, and it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good to give back. I always said I throw away 1,000 drunk laughs for one sober thank you.
Yeah, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. That's major. So you say that you, because I guess I wanted to take it to a point where there was an incident that happened here not too long ago with the women being killed or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and I see you were out with one of the fathers,
mm-hmm.
and I remember.
Wow.
You were. I remember that. I never forgot it because you were saying that in the midst of you, you know, looking for him, and I know he was feeling a certain way.
Mm.
You're able to kind of cheer him up a little bit with joking around with him.
Yeah.
I thought that was major.
Yes.
If you can, tell me about what that was like helping him look for his daughter.
Yeah, it was. You automatically think, wow, how strong would I be if the shoes was on the other foot,
right?
You know,
right.
Will I be going around and, you know, because somebody had to tell me. I didn't know him personally. Somebody had to tell me who he was.
Okay.
So because you thinking the person that's looking for his daughter gonna be weeping, crying, moaning,
right?
And he wasn't. Was he the happiest? I didn't know.
No, right.
You know what I'm saying? But in that aspect, nobody was happy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when I told him, and you know, I said a joke to him, and he just smiled, man. It just meant so much.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the whole beauty of laughter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it let me know that, you know, my purpose is laughter, and it's God sent, and nobody else can give it to me but him.
That's big. Like I said, I never forgot it, and I was like, wow, that's a big step, because there were people who are so rah-rah that you didn't see him anywhere to be found.
Correct.
But I've watched, like, you kind of make your life transparent through Facebook, which is cool, because like I said, a lot of people are interested, and right now Facebook is a lot of people's lives. That's what they do.
Yeah, that's
all day
do.
Long. So if that's the case, then they get a chance to see a lot of things. I know with you show a lot of things, and I appreciate that. So that's why I say, when I see you working with the youth,
mm-hmm.
and even when I see you guys walking through the, you know, East Cleveland, looking through the abandoned houses for these girls that were missing, I thought that was big, because you know you were right in the middle of it.
Correct.
And it's funny that whenever I'm looking for you, you're always in the middle of things,
yeah.
versus on the outside saying, we need to do this, we need to do that. You're more of the, yeah. I'm already doing it, so what yeah. you waiting on?
Correct.
That's cool. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But people that know me from Jobs, knowing that I'm always, they say, well, Jobs will say you disengage because you don't do what we tell you to do. But
right.
my thing is, you're not going to talk to me any type of way. And why can't I have fun doing my job like everybody else doing?
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to hang my head down like you want us to do, like we slaves or robots or He-Mans. I'm
right.
not like that.
Right.
You know, so that being said, man, I'm just trying to be involved, man. And I can be involved more.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I feel the same
yeah.
way.
Yeah, I could be involved more, because we all get lazy, we all get settled, and
right.
You know, just life gets you.
Right.
But when you're around great people, you have no choice but to be great, or the great people is going to stop hanging around with you.
That's true. So would you say it's better to be proactive?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's
absolutely
cool.
Absolutely. But it's like, in the same breath, you know, I work for Cleveland Housing Network, and
okay.
I'm always behind the gun. I'm always rushing with my paperwork, and I'm always,
right.
you know, and that's not being proactive. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I'm not the one. I always say, as far as with the church people, and don't tell somebody how good the service was. Show them.
That's big.
So,
could you say that again for? Yeah,
don't
for
tell
people?
Somebody how good the sermon was.
Right.
Show them. You know what I mean? It seemed like we were in them four walls, and then when we get out the four walls, you don't even know the who went to church or not, because we're so clicky. We're so clickish. So with that said, as far as being proactive, it's a lot of stuff that we need to do.
Right.
And we all think we're perfect. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I know this is clean, but I got a little saying that I say, I'm not going to, you know, but I say, somebody can't smell themselves stinking because you always got your nose in my S-H-I-T.
I got you.
So we need to handle our own self. You know, everybody got flaws.
Right.
And if you don't think you got no flaws, then lying to yourself is yours.
Right. I got you.
I'm
got you.
You know what I'm saying?
I understand that.
We're just in this perfect, you know, my pastor, Pastor Judah C. Early of Mount Hebron, man, he's just, he's not that traditional collection plate. You know, you go to
right.
these churches and that's all they talk about is money and money and money.
Right.
You know, he say he'd rather save a soul than save a dollar.
Which is big. That's what we're put here to do.
Absolutely.
So that makes sense. Wow. So how long have you been going to Mount Hebron?
Oh, years, man. How old are you?
I am 33. Yeah. I had to think for a minute. 33.
When you were still with your daddy, let's put it that way. When you were still with your daddy, that's how long I've been going. When you were still
funny.
Stuck in your daddy.
You funny.
But long time, man. I remember staying in church all day.
Really?
I remember, yeah, when them pinches, them hard pinches when you was
on the thigh.
Oh, on the shoulder.
On the shoulder.
But nobody knew it but you.
Right.
And I'm still waiting one to heal since 81.
Yeah, I got a couple of
yeah.
marks on my
Absolutely.
Body from my mother. Yeah,
you couldn't talk. You couldn't get up.
Yeah, you couldn't move. And
yeah.
if you fell asleep,
oh, yeah.
we got smacked. We didn't get pinched. We got
Absolutely.
smacked. And it was the one where it ricocheted, where everybody heard it.
Right.
And they were all turned at the same time. Like, oh, yeah, that was me.
Yeah. That's wow. the old, you know, the old. And that's what I want to go with, man. I mean, I like, you know, the new, you know, the Ty Tribbetts and mm-hmm. the Hezekiah Walker. But I love them old hymns.
Okay.
You know, I love that, you know.
That gets you growing.
Yeah, that gets me going. Nah. You know, because I sing.
Stop it.
What, tenor? 10 or 11 feet away. Away. But,
I'm about to say, don't do that to me. No. Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I love that. I love that, man. It's just that, it's like you leave from a healthy church, it's like you're glowing. Like yeah. You're bulletproof.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like nothing can stop me.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Wow. Go, yeah.
That's major. Now let me ask you about this. Now if you, and a lot of people may not be hip to you on Facebook, but you put a lot of videos up. A lot of, they're really funny and silly, but a lot of them have a lot of strong messages to them.
Mm-hmm.
What has been the overall response to your videos since you started, from the first time you started? And what, and I guess it's a two-part question. What made you start doing that, and what has been the overall response to it?
What made me start is from the blessing that God with the social media, man. It's like social media is like your first car.
Right.
That you don't need nobody to take you where you gotta go. I ain't gotta rely on nobody.
That's true.
You know, I could become, stay in my bedroom. And if you do the right promotion and marketing, which I have done, you can become a millionaire.
That's
right
true.
There.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And network and this and that. But as far as with the meaning, man, when you get people such as yourself to inbox me, and you told me what happened with your son,
yeah.
that means something. Like I got 4,000 Facebook friends. I really only know 40 of them. When somebody tell right. you that you don't know them and they complimenting suicide yeah. coming off an ugly divorce and you saved their life, that's meaningful.
Yeah.
So I have to keep doing it because in a way I'm somebody's voice.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I'm somebody's voice and they're waiting for me to say something, and they say I can feel that. I know exactly what he's going through, and that's my whole meaning, man. And it revives me because I got something to say and I just let it go.
Right.
You know, like I'm funny, but it's meaningful.
Right.
You know, or I'm trying to be funny, but I'm trying to put a message through. And you know,
you're doing a good job.
Yeah,
bro.
Thank you. I appreciate
you're definitely
it.
Doing a good job.
I appreciate it. You know, you want everybody to laugh. I didn't like when they laughed at me at Best Buy when I tried to get the PlayStation 4. They laughed. That credit store was bad. They bought me Double Dribble out. I said, wow.
Double Dribble?
Double Dribble and Tecmo Bowl. That's how bad my credit was. They ain't bring me no iPhone. They brought me a no phone.
Yeah, no. I see you bought them old school.
Yes.
Yeah, old school. You know, them phones worth some money now.
Yes.
Yeah, and you got you.
Absolutely.
Does it work? I got to ask you, does that phone actually work?
I have no idea. I never even tried it, man. I never tried it.
Oh, my goodness.
I never tried it. But I honestly, man, I know I'm not taking nothing from my talent. I'm not taking anything away from God. But this social media, man, it is such a blessing.
Yeah.
It is such a blessing that you don't have to, when you don't have to rely on nobody but
That's
you.
True. That's true. Because you're the vehicle.
You
have the vehicle. You're the driver. You have the keys to it.
Absolutely.
And it's up to you to actually put in.
Absolutely.
Start it up and actually go.
Yeah. And it's just like, our ancestors had to risk dying for one paragraph or a sentence of literature or knowledge. We can go on our computer at any time, Google something, and it's right there.
Right.
It's no excuse to be ignorant. It's no excuse.
You want to say that again for the people?
It is no excuse to be ignorant when everything is right at our fingertips.
I agree.
Anything that you want to see, all you got to do is YouTube. How can I become a millionaire? And somebody tell you. How can I be great? Somebody tell you. It's $1,000 on being great.
You know what, you're right.
Yes.
Wow. And this is what I'm talking about. It's funny because somebody actually may not even know that.
Yeah.
So they may listen to the show and say, well, I never knew that.
Yeah. And if you don't, then shame on you because it's around. And some people say, well, somebody never taught me. That's because you never hushed.
Talking too much, huh?
Yeah, you talking too much. You never hushed.
I agree.
Yeah.
That talking to get you in trouble.
And you got a lot, like my little cousins, and you know that fact. I know.
Yeah, can't even tell him anything.
And he know it all. But then he asks you for $5 at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. In order to gain knowledge, you must first confess your ignorance. And just sometimes say, I don't know. And even if you do know, sometimes still be quiet.
So you can learn something.
So you can learn.
Yeah, wow. This is like mind-blowing to me because you really are schooling the people. And, yeah, I'm actually learning some stuff now. So, like I said, I appreciate you coming, man. But I got to ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world was you thinking when you did these pictures where you put your face on these different album covers or pictures or whatnot? Because I'm going to tell you, this one where he got... Where it's these dancing African kids, and they look like they about 3 or 4, and your picture matched perfectly on this dancing kid. And I think I was sitting at home, and I was talking to my wife, and we were having this. Matter of fact, architect, we was sitting having a conversation about something serious. I'm talking about something so serious, and architect is in the background, people. So I was having one of them serious confessions, right? And so I'm looking at my phone, and I scrolled down, and in the midst of that, I like to drop my phone in the dishpan, dying laughing. Like, I literally slipped and fell on the ground laughing. And she was like, "What's so funny?" I said, "You got to look at this." And so she looked at it, and she just busted out laughing. It went from a straight serious moment to Comedy Hour.
Absolutely.
Like, we had to go back and look at some of his videos because it was just that funny. Yeah. Like, what is your mind when you do these things, man? I need to know, what do you be thinking when you're doing these pictures?
Nothing. Absolutely
just
nothing.
Just randomness?
Yeah, just randomness. And with a real story with that, my aunt just lost her job, right?
Right.
And she's going through, you know, that depression. And she said she was at the library. And she says she saw that picture, and she just busted out laughing.
I bet she did.
She says she's, and a white lady said, which takes to your story, which takes the place of your wife.
Right.
And she said, "What are you laughing at?" And she said, "Soda." And she started laughing. But the story behind that, man, I got a buddy, a comedian buddy named Byron Kelly.
Okay.
And he does those for me.
Really?
Yeah. He does those for me, and I can do it, but I'm so much, you know how some people say they're a team person?
Yeah.
And they really not. I'm so much a team person. I can learn the application, but he was like depressed. He was in the mix of being homeless.
Wow.
So by letting him do those for me, it makes him feel fulfilled.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I had a show in Columbus. I brought him up on stage and let them people know. You know what I'm saying? I'm more of a team person.
Wow. Shout out to Byron Kelly, man.
Shout out, man.
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely. Yeah. I got to give you props, man. You do a wonderful job
because
you show.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Man,
it's certain things I cannot do and places I cannot go looking at your stuff.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Like, you know how sometimes you might be in church, you're looking at I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell everybody, this is a story, and you touched on it earlier about the situation that happened with me. Me and my wife, we had lost a child, and we were, like, really in a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, like, we were just going to shut off everybody. We didn't want to talk to anybody. And I remember there was, I don't know if it was, I think it was the one where you had the, I don't know what you call it, but it's the thing that expands.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at that. And we were just looking at the videos, but in particular that one, because you were talking about hanging around people, great people, how much it expands you. And I remember the look on her face because she was dialed in with me. Normally we don't look at each other's phones, you know, we let it do each other, but we were sitting there in the bed and we're just looking at a lot of videos. We were laughing. I mean, it was like the first time in a long time that we had really laughed
mm-hmm.
for real
mm-hmm.
because we've been crying so much, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And we were laughing. And then we had seen that video and we were like, wow. And I told her, I said, you know, I said, he's always been like this. I was like, I guess it, for me, it touched me because I remember when I was working for Renner Center. And there was a guy in your building. I remember you live in a certain building,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Hale.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he had made a statement, and I was like, he's like, why you hang around that guy? Say he the devil. I said, what? Say he the devil. And I never forgot that, but I know Mr. Hale was just saying because you were just a wild dude at the time.
Yeah.
But I remember I said, it's funny, he was considered somebody actually made a statement of calling him a devil, but this is the same guy in the same breath that's encouraging people, you know, using a gift that God gave him to encourage people and enlighten them and make them smile. You know, I remember I had to send you that long message. I know it was long. I apologize about that. It was so cool because my wife hadn't laughed in so long. You know what I'm saying? I just got to say, it encouraged us. And I guess when I wanted to have you for the show, when I found out that I got a show, thanks, Architect, by that, I got the show, and I said, I got to have this guy on here. My wife was like, yeah, let me know when you get him. Because I want to hear him. I said, yeah, I don't know what he's going to do. But like I said, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you, man, because it meant so much in our healing process.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and we always, like I said, we laugh because she looks at me and she said, what does he think when he does some of this stuff? I said, he's just being Delonte. That's all he's doing. That's D-Hawk at his finest hour.
Yeah.
But my question is, and I guess it goes into this question, your upbringing with your mother, the situation with your mom. Tell me about your mom, because that's something that helped shape you.
Yeah.
So I like to know what was that like in your house? And you have brothers, so I'm wondering, were you all funny like that, or was you just a fool, the only fool in the house?
Well, you really own it, man. Are you IRS or something? Because you really, I guess, because I put it on Facebook. Huh?
It's out there. I pay attention, man. Like you said, it's knowledge. It's in my face.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't have you on my show. I don't know nothing about you.
Exactly.
Yeah, we having a conversation.
Yeah, so, man. I think by me being in Cleveland Heights, just everybody around me is always funny.
Right.
Always. They the one that need to be on stage. I should be writing for them, or, you know, I'm just the one that happened to go on stage. That's why if you hear all my comments, everything, I say we, our, us.
Right.
I never say me, because it wasn't just me.
Right.
So when I was going to Cleveland Heights, you couldn't come with no skinny jeans or no messed up haircut. You would get ranked.
You would get thrown out of Cleveland Heights. Yeah. I know that for a fact.
Yes. Yeah. Period.
Yeah.
Yeah. Period. You know, we only get 10-minute bathroom breaks. It's going to take you 15 minutes to pull down your pants with them skinny jeans. So,
yeah.
But my mother, you know, you can't miss nothing you never had.
Right.
And he was never around. So my mother, she was a strong person, but I had my grandfather, I had my brother, I had uncles,
right,
cousins, that I never lacked the nutritions of a father role.
Wow.
And I do have somebody, he's not my biological, but somebody that stepped in my life as a father role. I was just rebellion at that time, not accepting him.
This is your mother's husband at the time?
This is my mother's boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which I call my pops right now.
Okay, cool.
Because you got some people that don't even take care of the kids, let alone somebody else's kids.
Now, that's funny, because that's something that I went through. You know, my dad, I don't know, he was on what he was on, but I had a guy that stepped in, and I was kind of rebellious, but I wanted him to be a dad. And so he stepped in, and he did I tell people, by far, I don't even call him a stepdad.
Like, no.
If you call him a stepdad, I'll probably punch you.
Yeah.
You know, he's a dad.
Yeah.
He came in and accepted the challenge of being a dad.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, have you met your dad, or have you had a chance to reach out to him?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Would you ever think about reaching out to him, or would you?
I think I know my mom said the day I was born, the day he got killed. That's what she said.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she went there.
Yeah. That's what she said. That's what
wow.
she said.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. It's just, like I said, she did such an amazing job. That's why on Father's Day I give her a present.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. You know,
that's major.
I really don't. You can't miss nothing you never had, like we said, but she did such an amazing job, and I had different father figures
around
me that it was never a gap, ever. Wow. Now, my brother had his father, but his father was a deadbeat, and it messed him up because his father come in and out, in and out. See, now you're playing with emotions.
Right.
If you're going to stay out, stay out.
Right.
You're going to stay in. Just like all of what they used to tell us about the door.
Right.
You're going to come in or come out.
Right.
You know, so his story is different than mine.
Wow.
I never had mine, so it was Nothing.
Nothing to, you didn't have any emotion attached to.
No, nah, I wish Charles Ramsey find him. I'm just kidding. I ain't never getting a whooping. She said, wait till your daddy come home. We've been on the port since 75.
Yeah, you. it was a picture that you had up there, and it was so funny because it was actually, it was two of you. It was you and a little baby.
Yeah. Wow, man.
And I thought it was hilarious because you was like,
he ain't mine.
This little dude ain't mine. I mean, look, I'm just dying laughing. Like, this dude is so funny, man. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. This
is man.
Crazy. Now, let me ask you, since you're a big sports head, going to the sports section of this, I've been wanting to ask you this. What's up with your Steelers, man? They kind of, regress a little bit.
Not really.
Not really. No?
We just did bad.
Yeah.
We just did bad. I mean, the Browns been doing bad for.
I was gonna say we don't know. You know, like y'all really haven't experienced what we experienced. So
exactly.
So you don't. You know, but you had a bad season.
Yeah, we had a bad season. But remember, we was one game from the playoff. Now the Browns can go 1-80, and they beat Glenville. They gonna do the Pee Wee Herman dance. I mean, come on. But serious, why I got the microphone in my face, people want to say, why did I become a Steeler fan, man?
That was my next question, but I figured you would jump on that, so yeah. I'm going to let you go ahead and answer that question.
Well, because I'm 8, and I always like an underdog.
Right.
Nobody was rooting for the Steelers. And then people, well, they had 4 Super Bowl rings. Yeah, this was when the Browns was beating the Steelers.
Right.
When they had the Dogs, the Hanford Dixons, the Frank Minifields.
Right.
Don Rogers, Lord rest his soul.
Yeah.
So whoever they wasn't, and I just became obsessed with the Steelers. And I'm one of these people. If I ride with you, I'm riding with you.
Is your mother a Steelers
fan? No.
Nobody's a Steelers
fan
but you.
And that's what made me. I'm not a follower.
I can appreciate that.
So now I understand. Oh, your home team, it brings money to the city. This and that. But it's too late. I roll with you. See, if you pick me up in a bucket, right. I mean, the seat's gone, the doors are gone, and my best friend come in a Rolls Royce, I'm leaving in that bucket.
Wow.
That's just me. I'm loyal like that. It's too late to switch.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate that. I just was so curious. I'm like, what is the back? I never asked this dude, what is the backstory to the Steelers?
Yeah, that's what it was. I had no idea. It was just a team. You know what I'm saying? It was just a team. It wasn't being disloyal to your city. It was just, I just love this team. And I hate the Browns. It was our rivals. You know, I remember they said, I went to the training camp and Ozzie Newsome asked me, what's my favorite team? I said the Steelers. And he picked me up, and that's my grandfather's greatest story, whatever. But if I roll with you, man.
Wait a minute. You told Ozzie Newsome to his face?
Steelers. The Steelers. If I roll with you, man, I got you.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow. I've always just wanted to know that. That just was, as long as I've known you, because we even watched the.
Yeah.
We watched that one playoff game that the Browns went to, and I remember we ate some wings, and.
Yeah.
And I remember that at one play, and I said, oh, God, they about to come back and win. And you laughed and smiled, and everybody in the room was like, oh, no, we up by 15. I said, nope, we about to come back. They about to lay up.
You remember that, huh?
We about to beat us. And you sat there. He was like, he caught it. Here it goes. And I sat there, and I went home, and I said, I can't believe I went over this dude's house. And I'm walking out his house with a bunch of Browns fans, mad and angry. And he's sitting up there laughing like, thanks for coming. See y'all Monday. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. I used to cry when the Steelers used to. You know, but now, I mean, I'm still a fanatic. But I'm like, man, these dudes get millions.
Yeah.
Millions. While I'm working at Arby's, making $4 an hour, losing sleep over it, I ain't going to do it to myself. You know what I mean?
So you're not as emotionally attached as you used to be.
I am, but I'm not. Because it's... Because now it's this person makes $10 million and his con. I don't care how much they make.
Right.
Back in the day, we didn't know how much Walter Payton made or this and that. We just knew they was good.
Right.
You know, and it's so much business now.
Yeah.
It's so much business that
taking the fun out of it.
Yeah, and you can't hit the way you used to hit, and they calling. You know.
Your boy is the reason why they like that.
Good.
Hines.
Good.
Did that. It was all because of Hines.
And that's great.
Now I gotta make a confession. Architect, everybody, I got to make a confession. Hines Ward is my favorite player of all time.
Yeah, me too.
From college, from college. From and I'm gonna tell you why I love Heinz Ward so much. This is so off topic, but I got what you're going there. The dude, I seen the story of him and his parents.
Mom. Yeah.
And his mom, and I seen it kind of remind me of you. And yeah. So this dude went, and I guess his drive is so unreal. I watched him play quarterback, running back, receiver at Georgia.
Yeah, number 19.
I never forget it. And I wanted so bad for the Browns to pick this dude. So bad. And I'm like, this dude is like the most dynamic player I've ever seen, and he was nasty. Had the ability to play safety because he was just that nasty. And he went to Pittsburgh, and I said, oh, God. And from day one, he's been like the biggest bully I've ever seen. He's the only guy I've ever seen that had hit Ed Reed, and Ed Reed got up crying. Like, why you hit me like that? Like, he's looking at the ref, like, throw the flag, like, dude, he's an offensive player.
Offense. Shortest on the team.
Right.
And they made a rule and said you can't hit. Right. Now, he's a game changer, too, because if you remember, it wasn't a requirement for you to block as a receiver.
Right.
Not a tight end. Now you have to block.
Oh, yeah.
And they put that rule that you can't hit like this.
Because of him.
Because of him, after he broke Keith Rivers' jaw.
Yeah, and broke it clean.
And it was a clean hit.
It was. It was nasty.
I love Heinz Ward.
Wow. Okay, so Mrs. Sierra Ball, Summer Gun, you big Pittsburgh Steeler heads, there you have it. So I did that just for y'all. I had y'all on my mind because I know how much y'all love Pittsburgh and these people. I give props what props is due. But ain't that what Jay said? I give props what props is due to the Steelers.
You got to.
I got to because they just win.
That's right.
And I respect the owner, Rooney. Mr. Dan Rooney, I respect him so much for opening the doors for a lot of African Americans.
Yeah, he got the Rooney rule.
Yeah.
That you have to have a black coach in your rotation when you're about to hire a coach.
Right. All because of him.
The Rooney rule.
So that's why I say I respect the organization now. Am I a Browns fan? I am not attached to them as I used to be. Mm-hmm. But I'm always hopeful deep down in my heart. So, you know how that goes. But let me ask you, go into another segment of the show, about the CD that you got. You just released the CD.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me the name of it? How long you've been in process of doing it?
Oof.
And, yeah. And, just give me the name of plug your CD and tell me the concept behind it.
Funny with no money.
Interesting.
Yes, funny with no money, man. And it took me a year and a half to make a simple half an hour studio CD. Because I wanted to do a CD. I didn't want to do a DVD because everybody is doing DVDs. I always told you I wanted to do the opposite of what everybody doing.
Right.
I'm not going to even... I'm gonna suck nobody up. But sometimes when you give people money, and when they get the money, they lose the drive that they used to have. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we're gonna leave it like that. And right.
So my pastor has a full-fledged studio in his basement.
Wow.
So once I found out about that, I told the old boy just keep it.
Right.
You know, and he said he was still gonna put it out and this and that. Well, he put it on mix. I don't even know how it sound. Because we still had some pieces to put. But it went number one in the nation for 2 whole weeks on mixtape.com. Never even listened to it.
Really?
Yeah. So I knew I wanted to be clean for the CD because everybody can cuss and this and that. But can you be clean and still be funny?
Well, that's the skill of it.
That's the whole skill. And so my pastor was like, brother, you know, before you come... you know, no vulgar, right? I'm like, yeah, of course. You know, right. That's just how I was raised. If I see an elderly, I see, you know, I just need to know what's the itinerary, and I right. can adapt.
I respect that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I can adapt. I mean, I'm sure if you put me around Zach Reed, I can drink with the best. But I'm sorry. But so my pastor, you know, we doing this, we doing that. Oh, it just baby. Takes so much.
Yeah.
Like that quote say, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know nothing.
Right.
And it takes so much. You got the lab tracks, you got this, you got that, and you know, he got a family. So it's like it got pushed to like 6 months.
Wow.
And then his computer crashed. All the files gone.
Oh
Everything wow. missing like Bobby's Christina's teeth. But I'm sorry. I'm just gonna keep you drinking. But missing like Amanda Berry. But so he said I wound up going to my buddy Carlin.
Right.
He the one that finished it, but during the process, all of his stuff got lost.
So let me ask you, what was that feeling like when you felt like you were so close? And yet it just, you were like, man, I don't understand. Did you get frustrated? Did you feel like maybe this wasn't meant to be?
Exactly. Maybe it wasn't meant to be. Maybe it's a test.
Right.
As far as to keep on going.
Right.
It seemed like they playing a trick on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just, it was crazy. So it persisted. I just kept going. I just kept going. But even with that, now that it's done, now you're still picky, like, well, do it like this, and the laugh track is off here. You know what I mean? Just do it. You know, right. just it is what it is. It's your first one. You know what I mean? So my homegirl, she put it on iTunes. It's on TuneCore. If you look up "Funny with No Money,"
cool.
My buddy that does comedy with me, my partner Sean Showtime, he told me to do it over. I said I'm not going to do it over. I'm not going to wait no year and a half.
Right, another year and a half. Yeah, I'll do it again.
So he told me to do it over. He said it's okay, but then you got my godson that listened to it every day.
Really?
So you can't please everybody. You know, you can't please everybody. I know what I listen to, and I'm like, well, it's just sometimes we are our own worst enemy.
I agree.
We are our own worst enemy, and you try to be so flawless.
You do.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand that when you're trying to obtain perfection in a sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and you can't. When you try to pertain, get perfection, you wind up ending with nothing.
That's true.
You wind up putting nothing out.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, I'm excited about, you know, the CD is fine, but this DVD, man, this what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna take my skits, my faces, and then have a stand up like at the end, like a 10-minute stand, and it's gonna be worldwide. No, this CD gonna be worldwide, but it's the world gonna see.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The world gonna really, really see what skills we got in Cleveland, man. In Ohio.
Now, I know that you said something about that because you was a video that you shot out in L.A. And you said, I'm not knocking L.A. comedians, but we got just as much talent at home.
Mm-hmm.
But we just got to stop hating each other. Now, how much hate have you endured or encountered, you stupid?
Wait. Woo.
Like that?
Yes. Yes. See, people think, and this is just life, period, but I'm just talking about in comedy.
Right.
But the more funnier you become, the more funny people gonna stop messing with you.
Really?
Because you're a threat. It's like that dude in high school, the new dude.
Right.
He got pretty hair. He a quarterback. And now he took all the girls.
Pretty
now,
hair.
Pretty hair. Pretty Ricky is what they call him.
I believe it. I believe it.
So, especially black people, which is a shame, your natural thing is to hate.
Right.
It's not to embrace, it's to hate. Who is this guy? And now, hey, when you realize you're not the only one in the world that's funny.
Right.
See, it don't happen, man, go down to LA and get a deal. It don't happen like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If anything, they're going to reject you quicker.
Right.
It's a great comedian named Michael Collier. Uh-huh. Now, he came out on stage and he was making fun of it, but he was serious. He said, wait a minute, them two guys was amazing. I had in my contract to have two mediocre comedians.
Right.
See what I'm saying? That way, I don't have to work so hard.
Right.
You know, they asked Kevin Hart, what is your tip for an up-and-coming comedian? He said, kill yourself. They don't want no. So as far as with the hate, when I first started off, right? Bomb, 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 bomb.
Bad, huh?
Oh, yeah, bad.
Right.
But your supporting cast ain't going to let you hit your head even when you're trying to.
Wow.
So when you start, you go into these open mics and you surprise people. Hey, wow, it was this little dude, man. He was funny.
Right.
But now it's expected.
Right.
Now it's, you better make me laugh. I spent 50 cents to see you. You better. That's why if a Cleveland cat tell you you okay, you dynamite.
Right.
Because he wanted to say you ain't nothing. it'd be a privilege to go back to the store or write on his Facebook that D-Hawk bomb. D-Hawk ain't nothing. Ain't no way this vibe that I'm hearing about him. And I want it to be untrue.
Right.
That's why they say, I say, when you up, you see fake smiles. And when you down, you see real ones.
That's true. That's true.
People wow. claiming that they want you to score, but in reality, they want you to fumble.
Wow.
So you, best friend in Connecticut, my brother, y'all give me more support. And y'all not even at the shows. I got about 80 people at the shows hoping I fail.
Really?
Oh yeah.
So you actually know. So let me ask you that. Do you actually know some of the people that's in this?
Oh, absolutely.
I know they can't see me.
Absolutely.
You ever call them out?
You can't because they won't claim it.
Wow.
I don't have to call it out. Your actions
speak louder than words.
Yeah. And when you talk to me about other comedians, you're gossiping. I say, wait a minute. This how you do me.
Right.
Like that saying go, if somebody telling you about 1,000 people, rest assured, they telling 1,000 people about you.
It's true.
See, you don't know me like this to just gossip.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's hard to be on top. And I always say it's never lonely at the top if you take the people that help you get there with you. I know I'm on the top. It's not about being arrogant or whatever may
be. Could you say that one more time?
It's never lonely at the top if you take the people that helped you get there with you.
That's the culture shock theme, I believe. In a nutshell, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, wow. you can when people say, man, I killed it, I rocked it. Ain't that your job?
Yeah,
that's like when I worked at Lowe's. Hey, I delivered 8 refrigerators. Or Home Depot, I cut 9 pieces of wood. Okay.
That's your job.
That's your job.
Right.
I mean, be excited the gift that God gave you and this and that. But after a while, I say this. I'd rather stay humble than funny. Because when you lose that humbleness, it's such an ugly thing. You know what I'm saying? It's such an ugly thing, and it really don't make you funny anymore.
No.
It's almost like having that pretty girl, but when you see her ugly ways, she's not pretty anymore.
Yeah.
You could meet a Halle Berry, she ugly. She look like ugly inside, she look like Tracy Chapman outside to me.
Right.
To you. Or Precious.
Precious.
I'm just saying, man, that humbleness, man, is such a sexy thing.
I understand.
So like I say, man, I tell you this, even though you're the best today, ain't got nothing to do with tomorrow.
That's true.
And you got people that's gunning. See, when people come to my shows, they come in with them white gloves.
Right.
And they looking for anything they can find. You know, I heard this before that I'm arrogant. And it's not arrogant. It's the difference between being self-confident
and
being arrogant. Arrogant is when I say me and I did this by myself. And I'm the funniest. I'm not the funniest. I'm one of them.
Right.
And just because you might not like me, don't mean I'm still not funny. That's what I'm learning.
Yeah. That's a good thing right there.
Yeah. And just because you might like me, don't mean somebody else might think I'm funny.
That's true.
You go on YouTube. I looked at Bob Marley, one of the greatest reggae dudes it is. He got 1 million likes. But rest assured, it was one thumbs down.
Oh yeah, if not 1,000.
If not 1,000, you can't please everybody. Trying to please everybody is going to Walmart Steelyard and getting out of the line in 2 minutes. It ain't gonna happen.
What is it with you in this Walmart Steelyard?
I work down.
Please explain to the audience, okay, the people about Walmart and Steelyards in Cleveland, Ohio. Because you have said some stuff, and I'm like, I got to ask you, what was your experience? What happened?
Well, I worked down there, first of all.
Right.
And it's a shame. First of all, if you don't want a job, let somebody else have your job.
Right.
Okay? Because something you said in the back that convinced them to hire you.
Yeah.
All right? I see you on Facebook or YouTube, you twerking, and you the fastest thing it is, but when it comes to that cash register, you the slowest. Like, you got molasses in your behind.
Yeah.
And you mad at the world. Don't get mad at me. I didn't ask you to work here.
True.
And just as far as with Walmart, when I'm, you know, they tell me that I got experience at Home Depot and Lowe's, and then they give me $8.50.
You didn't like that.
Well, what can I do with $8.50? I'm 38 years old. And they gonna tell you, if you don't want this, it's 1,000 people that do.
It's true.
Make your mind up. Not tomorrow.
Nah.
Nah. Right now. And it's, you know, say, you know, Lowe's say, pretend you got $50 in your pocket, and if you need to make a markdown, make it. Here, Walmart, you make 20 cents. They're going to call the corporate dude across the world. It's like, make a decision. And it's like you a CO. Everything is locked up. So you already got 20 customers you're dealing with. Now I got to go get this key. And I got to go get, I love customer service.
Right.
And if I got to ask somebody, and then you got these managers that's micromanaging, they're on the phone. Instead of coming out on the sales floor, they trying to micromanage on the phone. No, come out. You know what I'm saying? And then it's never in stock. It's just, it was bad.
It was that bad.
Yeah, it was bad. And you know when people say, well, you talk about haters a lot, why you let them affect? And once again, Walmart Steelyard, the hater. When you can have substance and people say, oh, I've been in that store.
Right.
I understand what bad customer service is.
Right.
So you be relevant. See, if you be real, relevant, and reliable, you become a millionaire at anything.
I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe that. So would you say Walmart's a good company, just got a lot of bad apples inside?
I think when you have mega chains, when you have, you can't really have that identity, because you can't, just like, and I'm not talking about Pastor Vernon, but being a pastor, you're a pastor, you're a friend, you're a teacher, you're a counselor, and you got 7 mega churches. You lose some of your substance when you can't reach that many people.
Right. Personally, can't be personable with everybody.
Yeah. You can have a church with 10 people.
Right.
And them 10 people have so many different things going on. It's hard for you to touch 10 people, let alone thousands.
Right.
That you got to get on a jet and, you know, doing that. But that's a whole new other concept. But just like Home Depot, Bernie Matt, Arthur Blanks, Bernie Marcus.
Uh-huh.
Now, yeah. Arthur Blanks bought Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
And when they bring in the new dude, Bob Nardelli, it changed.
Yeah.
You don't have that service as Home Depot when we first started.
Right.
Remember, man, you used to get rolled up if you point to a customer and say it's down the hall.
Sure would. Sure would.
You don't
sure
have
did.
That no more.
Wow.
You don't have an old school vet that knows about electrical and plumbing.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to pay him.
That's true.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of knowledgeable guys that worked there.
Absolutely.
If you needed anything, go over there, go talk to Mr. Such and Such.
Yeah,
such
and then they grandfathered you in.
Y'all sure did. Sure did. But it helped you learn everything.
Yeah. But now it's just so, you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You got to. And so that's why I talk. You got to talk about substance. I can't tell you, just like when I do my jokes on stage, I say, people think I still worked at Home Depot. I don't say Cleveland Housing Network because they don't know what Cleveland Housing Network is.
Right.
But you'll know what a Home Depot is.
Yeah, it's relevant.
It's relevant.
Worldwide, it's international.
Yeah,
that's true.
Real, relevant, and reliable.
Do you think, and it's funny you say that, was that how you came into comedy? Did somebody kind of help you along the way when you came in, or were you kind of by yourself for a minute?
Oh, no.
Was the transition smooth?
You remember? No, it wasn't smooth.
It wasn't smooth?
No, it wasn't smooth. It can't be smooth if you still don't know yourself.
That's true.
Especially in a comedy, when you start and see, when people in comedy tell you to break a leg, oh, they mean it.
I believe that.
Break it in 3 spots.
Wow.
And when you don't know, when you don't have God's glasses, you like in a dark room with pit bulls.
Wow.
And you thinking this person gonna help you, but they ain't.
Right.
Because some people only want to see you shine when they give you the light. So it don't work like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't no way. You know, they thinking, I've been in the game for 20 years. I ain't get on. And you ain't going to get on either.
I can understand that.
You see what I'm saying? So it's scary.
So what, well, let me ask you this question. And this is, and because you're real and relevant, this is definitely would help a lot of people. With that being said, like you said, unless you have God's glasses, you're in a dark room. And a lot of people equate that to being in a tall grass with snakes all over.
That's right.
How did your faith help you overcome all the darkness and the scary aspects of comedy? Because there's so much that goes into it that people don't know about.
A whole bunch.
And so I'm wondering, how did your faith play a role and how big of a role did it play as far as you getting in and doing it?
As far as with the faith, just knowing that you're anointed because you've been doing it your whole life, and you, the cast that God puts around you.
Right.
Like I said, I don't take nothing from me, but man, my foundation, man, is bulletproof.
Right.
They keep me humble. You know what I mean? So I think once I did that set at my church, a 22-minute set, it proved that I could do church. It proved that I could keep it real. It proved, because I heard a couple of people, you're not gonna please everybody.
Right.
I think, and once you finally understand that, and you learn, you just like in LA, I kept Cleveland in me.
Right.
I kept D Hawk. I didn't change.
Right.
And sometimes that's what you do in life. You adapt, but some people adapt too much and you become that person you're around.
Right.
I always say, and you know this, if Beyonce hang around, four crackheads, Beyonce, Monday through Friday.
She'd be a crackhead. Okay.
Saturday, it'll be five. You are who you hang around.
That's true.
So with that being said, if all you do is hang around great people,
right,
you will become great. T.D. Jakes said, if you the smartest out your crew, it's time for you to pick another crew.
That's so true. That's so true.
Because they not challenging.
Right.
So as far as with my faith, man, you know, I still go back and forth. Should I do dirty? Should I do? But it's, you know, it's entertainment.
Right.
You know, it's entertainment. And I know I can adapt. Would I love to be 100% clean? Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Are you pushing for that?
Yes.
That's the truth. But some people, I've asked certain people, and they're like, well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is. If I do, cool. If I don't,
yeah,
I'm fine with it. But I've never haven't heard anybody say, I'm pushing for clean.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pushing for it. But it's, and say, I don't let it hold me back as far as if I have to say it at that time,
right,
then I'll say it.
Right.
It's just you got to know what room and what attendance you're living for, knowing your audience. But absolutely, I would love it, because I was raised on the dude at the time put a set on my Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And I'm cussing. I said, no, because the crowd on Facebook is different than my crowd that I had yesterday.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I got pastors and ministers and all of this. But now when people know that my... Because I used to put what I do, if I got a dirty clip, I'll put explicit.
Right.
Just to give you a heads up.
Right.
You know, but some of these church people, you listen, be in their car, they got some...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you know what I thought was so cool about yours? Now, this is, like I said, I do homework. I would look up some of the people that gave you props.
Mm-hmm.
And majority of people that gave you props were very faith
based.
And I mean, there were some jokes that was kind of wild, but they were so encouraging.
That's right.
Now tell me what that's like. You know, you having people that's, because on the outside it looks very strange, like, wow, they're encouraging him.
Yeah.
But I've noticed how they give you very good critiques, but they are so encouraging. What is that like?
It's weird.
I was about to say it.
It's weird. You know, but it's just entertainment, man. And you're not hitting old people on a, you're not robbing, you're not doing this. Right. Although words are very strong.
Very.
Very. Very. I have a lady at my church, and she, that's all she talk about. You talk about that. Not my whole, you know, you just look. It's called tasteful.
Right.
And when I talk about gay people, it's tasteful.
Right.
And I'm not mushing it down. I'm not mushing it.
Right.
And if I have to worry about this fat joke, I got to worry about this gay part, I got to worry about, I might as well be a singer. And when you become a comedian, honestly, you got to cut off all feelings. You got to get on that stage and cut off all feelings, or you will fail.
Wow.
You will absolutely fail.
Was that something you learned from somebody, or you just experienced?
That's experience.
Really?
That's experience. Because if you say, okay, I'm going to please this person, then you ain't going to please this person.
Right.
I'm going to please this person, then you ain't going to please this person. just do you. I did this spot at the Kings and Queens out in Maple.
Mm-hmm.
And this
Maple Heights, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. And a dude named Kenny Howe.
Okay.
He said, don't worry about all them talking. You worry about the few that you got right here. Because if you worry about all them talking, you'll lose the few that you just had.
Wow.
And the first time ever, I did a set out there. And Cleveland bars, you know, it sound like, even when you talk.
Right.
And you tell them to be quiet, now they louder. And that's the first time ever I got a crowd to be quiet without saying nothing. Because what you do, you get up, you say something.
Right.
And then you start to hear, shh, shh, and it just goes silent.
Really?
And silence at a bar is the same as laughter in a comedy club.
Paying attention.
Oh, if you can get a black bar to be quiet, oh, you got them. They ain't got to laugh at nothing.
Which they invested.
Oh, they got you.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's dope, man.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. One, you know, I did a show last week, and they said I was the best comedian they ever seen. It was at a sight center. They couldn't see nothing.
That's me.
I'm sorry.
That's me.
I know.
That's me. Oh, man.
Man, you just got to keep going. You got to keep keeping on, man, and try to get better every single day. Can't stay substance. Can't stay... Just like Bill Gates.
Right.
Bill Gates said if he dropped $100 down, it'll cost him more money to go back and pick it up
than to keep on going.
And get the rest of it.
Wow. Now let me ask you, this is a tricky question. No, I got it. What is your overall, what are you looking to get from comedy? Like what, when it's all said and done,
yeah,
what do you want to accomplish? What you wanted your comedy to have accomplished when it's all said and done? Like, what is the final, like, this is what I wanted. This is the thing that I really wanted. Like, what's in your heart?
Right.
What do you want to accomplish with the comedy?
Okay, well, maybe I should have started this, but I hate comedy. I can't stand comedy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Can't stand it one bit. What I love is helping people, especially the people that help me. And I know they say it's the laughter and all this, but I like projects. I like that Home Depot, you helping somebody with a fence or a garden.
Right.
So my accomplishment is to money laundry the right way. Take this money from comedy and have some community organizations.
Right.
And that would be my ultimate. To never need a stage ever again. And I got residual money. And I'm doing stuff like greenhouses, and we got farms and you know, the natural fruits and vegetables and helping elderly with the sidewalks and all that. That's perfect for me.
So community outreach is really what you like on a whole different scale, on a worldwide scale.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm not talking about OPM by no means, but we're doing like a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
So we selling food. And it was like these dingy kids that come in and they looking at you cooking, knowing they hungry.
Right.
So I give it to them. You know, they're my chairman. Do the face you make when D-Hawk is giving away our food. I got to give it to them.
Right.
That's just me.
Because you see that they hungry.
Because I see that.
Wow.
That's just me. It's a feeling that selfish people will never know. It's a feeling that you get
when you help people.
It's an amazing thing. Not to hang it over your head.
Right.
Not to tag you on. Hey, I helped this broke such and such. No, I helped you because it felt good, because of the right thing to do. You know, everybody, man, I'm going to do it. I'm going to help this person because I'm a Christian. How about help it because it's the right thing to do?
Right. Just because.
Just because. And that's my ultimate.
Wow.
I never want to be rich.
Right.
But I tell you this. I know that this trade that I'm doing in comedy involves so much sacrifice, and I know the pay scale. I gotta be rich.
Right.
Because I put in the legwork.
Exactly.
So give my family the riches like his family getting to.
Right.
Yeah, so absolutely. But I'd rather be rich than famous.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some people need it, just like if you take Home Depot.
Right.
Some people have been lames their whole life, and they say, I give you $20. with no title,
right?
Or I give you 15 with a title,
right?
80% will take that 15,
right?
Because it makes them feel like they something
important. Right.
I've been important my whole life. When I went to school, I see y'all talk about the fraternity. I was me five me.
I got another brother. James, I got you, baby. Yeah. I got you beat.
You know. So it was just, you know, the Kappas was my, which is a stereotype, with the pretty boys and all that. When I was in 94, man, the Kappas was the dark skins, you know, with the Steelers. The Greg Lloyd is the Kappa.
Right.
Mike Tomlin the Kappa.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Walter Payton, all of that, man. So stereotypes is what get black people to. We're so judgmental. Mm-hmm. You know, with black people, we're very critique judgmental and too religious sometimes. But I know who I am. I don't need nobody to define me.
That's awesome.
So therefore, just I like money,
right?
But I love helping people,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Some people want they just want the fame. You know, I don't want that fame because that fame come with a price.
It do.
It really do.
It do.
And it's scary sometimes. It's scary sometimes, but I tell you, when my first money come, I could just look in my mother's face when I tell her she don't have to work anymore. Yeah. The look on my pastor's face when I tell him we can get that church.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what I like doing.
Wow.
You know that. And I like a strip club. I know that this is a church thing, but I'm single.
You're in process.
There you go. He's still working on me.
Jay. Yeah, I can appreciate that. See, I can appreciate
he's still
that.
Working
that's
on
a,
me.
Hey, we all in process. I'm in process.
There we go.
And it's all good.
It's all you got to be real.
You do.
You got to be real. But as far as I think when I don't like I don't have a girl.
Mm-hmm.
My last serious relationship when I was at Nordstrom, even when I was before Home Depot.
Right.
Because I'm selfish with my time. If I know you're going to waste my time.
Right.
I'm not going, you know.
Not going at all.
I'm not
going
to do it. So I think if that money comes, I can say, just money will do a lot, but money ain't going to do everything.
It's not. But don't you want the girl before the money?
No.
You don't?
I do.
I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have a girl that was with you when you was broke?
Absolutely.
I
take that.
You're right. You know, if you get the money and then you get the girl.
You're right.
And then you lose the money just because.
Correct.
I mean, knowing you can get it back, but you lose it temporarily. Correct. She might, you know, you don't know if she's going to dip or what.
Correct. You're right. And then I think just because my uncles. Now, remember we talked about the father role and my mother.
Right.
I got bad uncles. And they scared me when I was a young kid about child support. I got a vasectomy when I was 8. I said, I ain't gonna get this off. I went up to Handy Andy, got me some string. The point that I'm making, man, is like some girls that I came encounter with that I like physical and mental, it's like they might not like me.
Right.
And then the girls that I find them cool just as far as what the friend side.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows that I don't like you.
Right.
But some of these girls, they different than when our mothers was growing up.
They're a whole lot different.
A whole lot.
But it's still some good ones,
aren't it? Oh, it's very. Some very good ones. But my thing is, almost like Bobby Womack, you can't be two places at the same time.
Right.
So they tell you to go get the money, but then they say you ain't never... Then, you know what I'm saying? Then
right.
You be at home. Then they say, go get the money. We broke.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying, let me go out and get this.
Right.
And then, because my mind is, my life is so lopsided.
Okay.
I'm very unbalanced.
Okay.
I constantly think about comedy. I constantly, and the sad thing, I think about failure.
Explain that.
Because every crowd is different.
Right.
Every night is different.
Right.
And you think, am I going to bomb? Am I going to say this? And I'm going to say that. And that's just doubt.
Right.
And that's fear. False evidence appearing real.
Oh, yeah. Say that again. Fear.
False evidence appearing real.
Oh, yeah.
Joyce Meyer.
Oh, yeah.
So once you knock that out, but that's a that's a huge hurdle to cross.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? Jordan said he failed his way to success.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a huge hurdle. Once again, with the social media, I told you all the pros about it.
Right.
But the cons is you're taking off so quick. It took Bernie Mac 25 years.
Right.
To, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now they try to put you in this huge genre with these people that's been grinding for years and years and years. So that's my thing. Don't rush my learning path.
Right.
I want to go through 1, 2, 3, 4. Because when you skip the step, it will show.
I agree. Well, we were just, me and the architect, we were talking about fear on one of our shows, Band of Brothers. And we're talking about, you know, in our relationships, how fear played a major part in certain things that we're doing, you know, with him doing a radio show and whatnot, and him just, you know, not realizing that he's a big advocate of, you know, let's overcome fear. And I am too, but we fall victim to it because sometimes we don't realize it by the moves we make. We think, oh, that's too big, I need to just do this for right now. And it's like, no, I'm scared. And it's like, oh, you know, you have to repent about that, because that's a, like I said, that's what we live by, faith. So I can see that wholeheartedly. That's let me ask you, and this is funny, but I just gotta know, since you're single, will we say the requirements of the future Mrs. D. Hawk would have to be, she has to be a Steelers fan?
Oh, absolutely not.
Absolutely not?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
Well, what if she is?
Well, that's fine.
That's fine.
But if she not,
it's not a requirement.
Not, because I'm not used to women liking sports.
Stop it. Really?
No. See, I was raised, men, we watching the game, and then the women over there gossiping, cooking, making cakes and all that.
Right.
See what I'm saying? But now I'm like, wow, you got this news anchor and this. And you, because some of these girls ain't really no sports fan. They just a groupie. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
LeBron James got a cute outfit. He just scored a touchdown. Further letting me know that you don't know nothing about sports.
Right.
But I love when a girl is trying to adapt to you. Same way a man's supposed to adapt to her also.
Right.
So, no, it's just, so I'm open.
Oh, you open. So, what? So no weight limit, no.
Oh, no, I got a weight. I got a weight. I got my preferences.
Give me some preferences. I mean, you kind of went high pitch on the weight thing. We'll get on that in a second, but give me some preferences. I'm just saying, man. Give me some preferences.
Man.
I mean, you single. I got to put you out there.
Well, first of all, and then it's probably, Lord willing, I'll be 39 April 17.
Right.
And this probably happened when I was 34. I look inside first.
Really?
Yeah. An ugly girl inside can't do anything for me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because we got to chill. We got to learn how to chill. We got to be friends first.
Ah.
But as far as, to be honest with you, how life go, I'll probably wind up and be married to a heavy set girl. That's just how life, like, wow, you never expected it.
Right.
Just like with this comedy. I never wanted to be a comedian.
Right.
I never said I wanted to be with a fat girl or skinny.
Right.
You know, I'm real picky, but I'm basic.
But you basic.
I'm talking to a girl right now, look like LeBron. Okay? I don't know whether to give her a hug or ask her why she left Cleveland.
You said she looked like LeBron.
Look like LeBron, South Beach. But, yeah.
I ain't got no comments.
That's my baby. That's my baby. 23.
Stupid. 6'9".
Huh?
Yeah, 6'9".
Exactly.
Nine, right?
Exactly. Six.
Oh, God.
Where's Dwayne Wade? Where is Dwayne? How is he? How is him and Gabriel Union doing?
You a fool. You a fool.
No, but honestly, man, it's loyalty over beauty. Loyalty over beauty.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's major. That's cool. You know, it's funny. We were talking about that. And since I got you on that subject, I might as well just take it there because it's fresh on my mind since we just talking. Since me and you just talking and catching up. Let me ask you a question. I want your honest opinion. I'm going to get that.
I'm going to get to you.
What do you think about sex before marriage for D-Hawk? Like, if you're dating a girl right now, mm-hmm. are you trying to wait it out?
I'm not that strong. If we gonna keep it real,
yeah, keep it 100, right?
I'm not that strong.
You trying to be?
Yes. Yes. I've been in love before.
Oh.
I've been in love. I've been engaged. And that is a beautiful thing when it's together.
Right.
When it's once again, it's not me, it's our.
Right.
You know, you feel this way, I feel that way. You look this way, I look that way. It's a beautiful thing.
Right.
You know, and if she would have wanted me to wait at that time, I would have waited.
Right.
But see, girls sometimes think, and just because they make you wait, that's a sexy thing, or that's a beautiful thing. Just because a girl make me wait, don't make me think, and you're not doing it to anybody. I just say you ain't doing it to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a thought, right.
Yeah. So my ways are real messed up. I never think you'll ask me that question.
Yeah, I had to come from the hip because...
Yeah, that's coming from the hip.
Yeah, because we were joking about that the last show.
Yeah.
And we got into it. It was a good show, Band of Brothers. And we were talking about, you know, waiting for marriage. Is it okay? And what advice we should give to our... We have daughters. We all got daughters.
Right.
So we're like, will we expect our daughters to wait? Will we hope they wait? Do we think they can wait?
Yeah.
And so I said, well, we teach them, you know, to wait. Now, if they don't, that's life.
Yeah.
You know, life is what... So it just made me. I've been playing with that question all week. Thanks, Architect, for that. By the way, we've been messing with that question all week. So I said, yeah, I'm gonna ask him because that's a, you know, like you said, you're single, you in process, you saved.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, but that whole waiting thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not a chase. The only chase that I ever liked in my life is that one on Mayfield with the blue symbol. The
you
bank.
Stupid.
But okay. I put it to you like this. See, here's my thing.
Right.
If it's valuable, and like if a girl say, "Can we wait? Can we do it?" If you made everybody else wait,
right,
then that's fine.
You're down for it.
Yeah, but when you just trying to play me.
But what? No. But what if? Okay. Now, what if the girl is decided to get her life right, and she's like, "I want to do this right. I really love you. Could we wait together?"
Right.
It might be hard for me. Like I know it's hard for you. Let's try.
Yeah.
You'd be willing to try?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's almost the same concept. And be honest with you.
Okay.
We supposed to love everybody, right?
Right.
If a bum is filthy nasty,
right,
and he asks you for a hug because it'll change his life, will you hug him?
I hug him.
A tight hug. I mean tight.
How long the embrace?
A good 30 seconds. Good 30 seconds. That's what I'm saying.
I try.
Okay, and I try too.
Right.
But you got to realize, I've been hearing things about you my whole life about your sexual encounters. And now you going to tell me that you've been to the Word Church for 2 Bible classes. And I'm just being honest.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you telling me to take you to Wasabi and to Benihana's and this and that. Well, I know Stan just took you to Rallies. And you paid for it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
What, and once, like this, tell me the requirements.
Right.
And I can do it.
Right.
If I got to talk to you all day on the phone, then I will,
because I know the requirements.
Right. But if you just making me do an extra stuff,
just, yeah,
it's a problem.
It's got to be genuine.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
It's got to be genuine for you.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. But then you got these girls. I'm going to wait. Yeah, but yo, the way you dress ain't saying you going to wait.
That don't help you do it.
The things you posting on Facebook ain't saying
that
you wait.
That thigh pic with the tattoo right below you.
Thank you.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, there you go. There
that
you
ain't,
go.
That ain't
That's
helping.
What I'm saying. You telling me, but I'm seeing something else.
I got it.
If it's worth waiting... But I have to be inside. I got to say, I got to wait for everything because I'm not married. And in the Bible, you got to be married. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know what you're saying, but it's very, very hard. And that's just how the devil is. It's like when I go on my detox.
Yeah. How that Pepsi detox going, brother?
They keep calling me, man. They keep calling me. Hold on. I can't shake it. But it's just... one time I was working at Walmart still. I'm doing good. I did about 3 whole days of just straight water.
Right.
And at Walmart, everybody go on their break at the same time.
Right.
Like a shift.
Uh-huh.
It sounded like a Pepsi commercial. Everybody was drinking Pepsi.
Right.
It seemed like they were playing a game with me. And then they got that big, huge vending machine with the water coming off the can. I was like, oh, my. You know, and I was telling my grandmother as far as with the eating, I said, you know, vegetarians don't eat meat and vegans don't eat meat or dairy.
Right.
And she said, what are you? I said, I'm hungry.
You hungry?
I'm starving. You know, right. I lost 50 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to.
The police was behind me. I threw that stuff out the door. I'm
just, you're a fool.
I just let
you. You're a fool.
But
a fool.
That's discipline, man. I know when I was eating right,
uh-huh,
your mental, your clarity, your spiritual,
everything got better.
Everything is enhanced. But my problem when I went on the detox for 20 days, after the 20 days, I made up for the 20 days.
Oh, I bet you did.
And that's what you're not supposed to do.
Right, you're supposed to keep it going.
Yeah. That 19th day, it was like Christmas Eve.
I bet.
Oh, man.
You had a whole table laid out of Popeye's chicken.
Just wings and just wings. And it's just like you did all that good, and then you just go back. And that's just life, period.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Just like about being broke. They say everybody is one paycheck away from being homeless.
Right.
My paycheck is different from yours because you got different responsibility, different bills.
Right.
That's why that humbleness, man. You got to... You know, these bridges, some bridges you got to hold, and some bridges you just
let them burn.
Just let them burn.
Let them burn, yeah.
Let them burn. But when you realize anything can change at any given time.
Right.
Just because you're the best one day, just because you're the worst don't mean you can be. It happens that quick.
Wow.
And that's right. What scares me, because if you look at this, if you ask any Jordan,
right,
Ali, any greats, they'll always say it was somebody was better than them.
Right.
But they worked harder, and that's what made them the greatest.
Wow. Hey, man. You heard it here, folks.
Yeah.
Culture Shock Entertainment, Shock Therapy with your boy D Hawk. I'm just saying, architect in the back. Let me ask you one more question. One more question. I'm really coming from the hip with this one, because I like these questions. They make you think.
Yeah.
They make you think. What has been the best part about you doing comedy, and what has been the worst part about you doing comedy?
The best part is changing people's lives.
Right.
Telling them, you know, people coming up and saying that their son or, you know, comes from school and asks, what did you do? What face did you make? What are you talking about? From substance, as far as, you know, the inspiration, as far as the message that you left, that's the best. Nothing to do with, I mean, it feels good to make people laugh, especially when you get started.
Right.
The worst is doing something that you, well, that's more of a challenge. You know, they say in order to get something you never had, you got to do something you never did.
Right.
I'm so new to this. All of this entertainment stuff and people telling you to break a leg and the light in the back and you got to wrap up. And all of this never been me. I never been a nightlife person.
Wow.
Ever. You know what I'm saying? Ever. And then also you have to take care of yourself because, you know, we're getting older.
Right.
You know, so now you know, I go to the herb store. I try to get like lemon balm. I try to get something to calm my nerves down. You're always on edge.
Right.
You always got to remember, they say that the number one fear is public speaking.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to make people laugh.
Right.
And I think they say they got the highest suicide rate stand-up comedians.
Yeah. It's up there.
So where did that put you? See, I'm 38. 30, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
People usually in 38, they've been doing it. Eddie Murphy started when he was like 15.
15, yeah, 15, 16.
I'm just getting started. But the Home Depots and all that helps me.
It sure did.
It sure did.
It helped me. It kept me laughing. It kept me looking forward to something. When I came to work, I said, I'm going to the tool room. I'm going to the tool room. The tool room and listen to this fool.
Absolutely.
Imitate. What was the song you sang? Oh, you was doing the Commodores.
Wow.
Just to be close, you went to the speaking part of the song that I knew nothing about. And I said, what is he? And he pronunciated every word the same way.
You remember
the Lionel Richie did it. And he broke. And then I said, oh, you know the whole thing? Wow.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, you just don't forget. And it's funny, you don't forget things like that because, like I said, they are the positive things in life. They're the things that made you smile, made you laugh. Mm. You know, so I appreciate that. But I'm going to leave you with this. And you can tell the people, and I want them to hear this. Encourage everybody right now. Give them something that if this was your last interview, if this was the last time that God would have you before people, what do you want them to know? What do you want to say to them?
Is that when we go into our depressions, we think that it's only happening to us. You think that everybody is having a great time. And it's not true. It's just people hide it different. I always say that some people's umbrellas are bigger than others and they can disguise the raindrops. But whatever you're going through, always remember that it's somebody that already went through the exact same thing you went through and they made it through. And you keep God first and you'll never come second.
Wow, wow, wow. There you have it, folks. This D-Hawk, the funny man. Hey, man, plug yourself. Tell people about the CD. Where they can find you at on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever else you at. Plug yourself.
You can get the CD on TuneCore, on Instagram, not on TuneCore and iTunes.
Okay.
Funny with No Money. You can check me out daily on Instagram and Facebook, D-Hawk Funny Man. And don't short yourself as far as with the laughter, man. Laughter makes the heart grow fonder. So, you know, some people won't tell you that you this. And my style of comedy might not be for yours.
Right.
But just because you go to my sites and all of this, it's more than just funny. It's meaningful. It's life.
Right.
And if you just don't like it, it's something wrong with you. I'm sorry.
I was about to say something wrong with you. It's something for everybody.
Yeah.
Let me know where you're going to be performing at. Because I know you do shows and whatnot, so I want to plug that also so people can come check you out.
Yeah. Well, I'm starting a tour, worldwide tour. We're going on Carnegie and Chester and Quincy. Oh, God.
I hope you make it to Quincy.
No, man. We got a show in Sandusky on the 28th. I have a show that I'd be down at Earth. It's in the flats by the OBW3s. They just changed the name, called the Odeon, every first Saturday.
Okay.
And
what time is that?
8 o'clock. I gotta tell black people 9.
Right.
No, I gotta tell them
you got 7. Yeah, I'm about to say you gotta tell us 7.
I gotta tell white people 9. They beat me. Where are you?
You're right.
So on time. Stop being on time. But that's the Odeon. And if you just follow, I'll let you know, because the show biz is so sporadic.
Right.
I could have a show tonight. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then I can cancel a show for next week. It's like the stock market. If you just stay current, then I'll make sure that I let y'all know what's going on. Okay. And be prepared. I got some funny skits. I got some great people, man. It's just I'm working with the kids. I'm working with, and that gives them inspiration too, the excitement, you know what I'm saying, to do something. So That's my whole thing, and watch out for the kids show also. I'm do like 20 kids per month. We could be looking at the next Sinbad.
That's true.
Be looking at the next D Hawk.
Architect like Sinbad,
huh?
The architect loves Sinbad.
Yes, it's the man. Sinbad the man, but Sinbad been grinding for years.
That's true.
You know, like I could tell you all this stuff, right?
Right.
And that camera get on me, that microphone, I go back to my same. You know, it's like that right hand in basketball. You say you're going to work this out, but you know that this joke works.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know that this joke's working. But, you know, it's just keep it. Just keep it. Just keep on moving. You know what I'm saying? You got to watch who you hang around. There's a difference between constructive criticism and destructive.
Explain the difference between the two.
Words, man. You know, people will say something that you need to listen.
Right.
But some people will say something just to destroy you.
Wow.
You know, like the one dude, I'm coming to your show and you better be funny. Why? How about just support me?
Right.
Did I say your kids' hair better be combed or your dishes better be washed this time? Just come to support.
Right.
You know, or they, man, you should hold the microphone like this, and you should, don't you work at rallies? What? It, but even though I still will listen to you, they said even a broke clock has the right time twice a day.
That's true.
I'm going to listen to what you're saying, but after a while, it seems like all you do is tell me when I'm doing bad.
Right. Never helping you out.
That's why they say no news is good news.
Yeah.
And I ain't heard nothing in 3 years, so I must be doing something good.
You must be doing something good. All right, y'all. D-Hawk.
D-Hawk, holla. D-Hawk,
what I'm just saying, Culture Shock Entertainment Radio Shock Therapy. It's been real, y'all. We about to get out of here. Two fingers.
Peace. God is good.